Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. Today, we're going to be talking to an author, a children's book author, who writes books with a reason and a purpose. She's an amazing lady. She's more than just a children's book author. She's done so many things in her life, but it's kind of remarkable. She loves to write books for children. She's done several. But to describe a little bit about her, she's a mythologist with an emphasis in depth in Jungian psychology. She's a storyteller, an author, a humanitarian, a cultural and arts activist. That's just part of what she's done. We'll talk a little bit about the other things that she has done. But she likes to write stories that have a purpose. And we're here to talk about a book that she has just written. It's kind of hot off the press. And it really focuses on the honeybee situation. She points out bees don't just make honey. They're critically important to nature, much more so than most people realize. They play a really vital role as pollinators, ensuring that we have beautiful flowers, a lot of fresh fruits, and vegetables. That's just part of what the bees do. They're very, very important to us. Tragically, as you may know, bees have been dying worldwide at a rather unsustainable rate, with a lot of serious consequences for a natural world. The number of honeybee hives in the U.S., I understand, and I get this from Nina, has decreased from 6 million in the 1940s to only about 2.5 million hives in the U.S. today. That's a huge drop, from 6 million down to 2.5. Anyway, our guest is Nina Kelly. She's the author of a book called Honeybee Treehouse. It's a children's picture book that introduces young readers to the importance of saving bees, the importance of what bees do and what they can do to help. It's really interesting. After leaving the city to spend a few weeks at her grandmother's house, Abby and her friends, this is about what the book is about, Abby and her friends discover just how special nature can be when they make some unexpected friends. And those friends, obviously, are bees. And along the adventure, Abby will learn all about the hard work bees do and why we need to help save them. Nina says she's trying to get little children involved. Obviously, we want adults, but you have to bring awareness to young children because children want to be of service. And her hope is that children will read her books and then ask how they can help. And I must say she was inspired to write this book doing what we all did at the beginning of the pandemic, and that is like not much of anything other than walking in nature, which she did. She spent more time in nature during the pandemic than at any other time in her life, and she became so much more connected to nature and familiar with birds and flowers. And she said she noticed the bees floating from flower to flower collecting the pollen, and of course, most children and even adults are afraid of bees. But she learned a lot about bees. She has studied bees, and she points out if you leave bees alone, they're not going to harm you. Bees are much smarter than you may think. They are very community-minded. They have jobs. They do their job. And writing the book, she learned not to be afraid of them. She actually loves bees. And she realizes how important bees are to so many things in our society and in the world. The Honeybee Treehouse book has even drawn the attention of the World Bee Project's founder, who writes, in this beautiful book, children discover wondrous facts about these little creatures who we must depend on for most of the food that keeps us healthy. So that's what we're going to be talking about. I don't know if you knew much about bees or not, but you're going to learn a little bit about them today, and you're going to learn about an author who has written a book, hopefully, that will help the situation with the demise of the bees, which we just can't have. Anyway, our guest is Nina Kelly. She's based down in Delray Beach, Florida, where it is, thank goodness, a gorgeous, gorgeous morning. Nina, nice to have you with us. How are you today on this beautiful day?
Oh, thank you so much. Listen, I so appreciate the way you introduced the book. It's just wonderful. You have such enthusiasm. I love it. Thank you so much.
Well, look, I've got the book in my hand. I don't always have that when I'm talking to an author. Sometimes they'll you know. But you were kind enough to send me this book. And look, you know, I know you've written books before, children's books before, but I got to give you a lot of credit. Because a lot of people think about an idea for a book, and you did a book specifically for children, which means unless you are an illustrator yourself, you need to find somebody else who can work with you on the book to bring the story to life for children through the pictures. And you've done exactly that. Not only that, you've written the book, and then you've gotten it published. And that's another thing that so many people don't have a clue of what to do, and it's not easy. And the book, by the way, folks, is out. It's available at Amazon, and we'll give you more information anyway. It's called Honeybee Treehouse, and it's by our guest, Nina Kelly. And it was illustrated by, I guess she's a friend of yours. Is it Herna?
Yes.
Hernia Edwards? Is that correct?
Herma Edwards.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. The pandemic came along, and you're in Delray Beach, where you could be swimming. You know, you could have gone swimming. It's lovely down there. Pandemic did not stop that. But you went parading around in the woods, and all of a sudden, you learned about bees. Tell me about how that happened. How'd that come to you?
Well, you know, like I love what you said because it's so true. Life just came to a standstill, and what happened is so many of us had to reflect upon what are we going to do, you know, during this time. And I just started walking around nature, and also my son lives here, and he took this opportunity to start planting so many different flowers. And of course, the more he planted, the more the birds came, the more the bees came, and it just became fascinating. And so every morning on my walk, I'd walk around, and then I started noticing. And there are more bees around than you can imagine, but they're also because of the flowers, because of the vegetation. And then I became fascinated by it, and so I started watching them and observing them, and I just thought, well, let me see. I need to know something about bees because I've been afraid of bees myself, you know. And then I realized they don't want to harm anyone. They're just here to do their job, you know. And that's really how this came about.
So did you go on an adventure to learn about bees? You know, there are different bees. You know, there are honeybees, and then there are other kinds of bees. I don't know that much about bees myself, quite frankly. Uh-huh. But obviously, to write this book, you must have started studying bees. Would that be right?
Well, I did. I had to start learning about bees because they're little characters. You know, they have – when you watch them go into a plant or a flower, you're very curious about them. So then I was like you. I thought, wow, I need to learn more about bees. And what do they do? Well, the more I started researching and finding out about bees, I mean, everyone knows about honey, but not everyone knows that, you know, 3/4 of our food come from bees, and that's significant. When you think about that, your produce, you know, your vegetables, your fruits, your trees, your pear, apples, you know, all of that is directly because of bees. Well, then I became fascinated, like, wow. They help us, they feed us. But they also, because they go from flower to flower, they help the flowers to produce because they are carrying pollen. As they're collecting the nectar, the sweetness of the flowers, they're also helping the flowers to grow too because they're carrying pollen from flower to flower. And then it became fascinating. I went, these little bitty things, it's amazing what they do. And then I also learned, you know, go ahead, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, so what gave you the inclination to sit down and write a book for children about bees? where did that germ started in your brain? How about that? Tell me.
I don't really have an answer for that other than observing nature. I think I was just fascinated by them. And to see these little, you know, if you watch, they're so tiny, and you just look how rapidly their wings move and how they just seem to work with a direction. That fascinated me, and I think that's exactly where I went from that. And I just thought, wow, this is interesting. And then I just wanted children, because I know when I was little, we were all afraid of bees, but they don't really want to harm you at all. I mean, they really don't, you know, because they're just busy doing their job, and they are smart. I mean, they communicate. So I think that was my motivation, is just these little bitty insects that have such a powerful job, and why shouldn't we learn about them, and why shouldn't we help them?
Well, let me ask you. You can teach me. I know they're honeybees. You say they don't want to harm you, but what about bees that do sting people? They see you and go for you. What kind of bees are those?
Well, I have to tell you, the reason why bees attack people, they only attack you. I learned this. They only attack you if they think you're going to harm them, or you're going to harm their hive, or wherever
right.
they are.
Right.
So that's really that they're you know, and they're not aggressive. Whether they're, you know, they really aren't. Whether they're honeybees or bumblebees, but they don't want you in their territory as they're busy doing their work. You know, think about it. You know, I mean.
And it's really interesting because, in addition to the story that you've written, you have diagrams in the back of the book about how bees function inside the hive, the queen
right.
bee, and then you dissect that. You have a great picture of the bees themselves and what, you know, what the bees are comprised of. You know, they have a head and antenna and a tongue and a variety of
right.
legs and wings. It's and you also point out there are more than 3,500 species of bees, but they're
right.
all pollinators. Is that right?
That's correct.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
that
shows you how, important
yeah.
they are. Without
right.
them,
and people miss, oh,
we'd be in trouble.
You wouldn't have. Well, you'd be in serious trouble. You wouldn't have. You wouldn't go. You couldn't have the fruits that you have, or the vegetables that you have. I mean, we would be in serious trouble. You see.
Wow.
And you'd be amazing. And the reason why I decided to do a children's book is because I think children truly want to be of service, whether they use that word of service or not. They want to help. They want to do something. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that in your life, where little children are always go, "Can I help? May I help?" You know, and
true.
I just thought that.
Very
would be,
true. Let me ask you this.
What a great
now, you,
thing.
You have an experience. You have experience of doing books for children. Did you do some research to see if there were any books of this type out there available already, or did you not? Worry about
there
that?
Didn't worry about that. I have a philosophy that the world is abundant, so I can't. And there are books out there. I mean, you know, there's a beekeeper's Bible, and there's the bees in your backyard, and you know, there's all kinds of little bee books out there. But I can't worry about if somebody has written a bee book, because, see, I also believe there's really nothing new under the sun, and we just may have a different, you know, slant on it. So,
right.
I don't operate like that. I just feel like I have to do my role. I need to put my story, whatever I think that story is, to help whomever it can help, and then just go from there.
Talk to me about the story. How long did it take you to come up with the story? Or did you sit down and it just come out? Yeah?
Oh, no. It's never that way. Well, let's talk. Well, what happened with the story is I had the idea of the treehouse. Now, that was, you know, the treehouse came to me. And I just thought, how much fun. You're out in nature. You have all, and I'm a tree. I like trees very much. So I started thinking, wouldn't it be fun to have children in a treehouse, and they're going out and they're exploring? That's how that came about. The challenge is, how do you tell in a children's picture book, publishers really don't want you to go over 1,000 words in a children's picture book. That's a challenge. How do you get a story out there in less than 1,000 words? It was for me anyway. And so that was a real challenge. And so my friend and I, and Herma, who is an artist, I've known her for almost 30 years now. She's an artist, a designer, an illustrator. And we just started brainstorming. I shared my ideas with her, and she we sat around the table and we discussed, not together around the table, but, you know, her telephone and my telephone around the table, and we started discussing how we could put this together and to so that the children could get the best. They could get the idea of what trees look like or what flowers look like, a little bit, you know, knowledge about what a hive looks like, and try to put all this whole concept into a book. And that's how that came about.
Well, now, the story features a young girl, a little girl named Abby, who lives in the city and then goes to visit her grandmother, who lives in the country. Is Abby fashioned after one of your grandchildren, or did you just pick that name out of thin air? What happened?
I actually chose this. That's an independent name. But I have grandchildren, and naturally I started thinking about the children. And really when I started writing this book, I told the children, my grandchildren, about this book. They were very excited. And they each had something they said. Well, Abby has to do this or she has to do that. And so they were excited about it. But they're not, the characters are not anyone. I mean, they're just characters.
Mm-hmm. How long actually did it take you to write this book, to put it together? I mean, you wrote it, then she did, your illustrator drew the pictures. But how long did it take you to write the story? Take a long time or not?
It did. It took several months because...
Really?
Let me tell you why. Because we weren't together. This is during a time of COVID. And so I would share the text with her, and she would share her illustrations with me, and then I had to tweak the words. So it's not... It takes a little while. It takes longer than you think. You know, it's because there again, your limitations. A novel, you have the freedom of a whole lot of words that can go for quite a time, but not in a short book. And so,
yeah, it
you
is.
Know,
it,
we,
it's yeah. basically 27 pages of the story. But obviously, you're writing for children. You gotta keep that foremost in your mind all the time. This is something children have to be able to read and understand. So let me ask you, after you wrote this several months in the process, did you test it on your grandchildren or some others to see how they responded?
I did.
And what happened?
And they made corrections.
They did. Okay.
What about this?
I'm not surprised.
No, and my grandchildren call me Mimi, and they said, "No, Mimi, no. What about this?" You know, and which is actually fun, because you're seeing it from a different perspective. You know, it's very we can become isolated in our thoughts, and it's great when you have input, especially from a young person's mind. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So you finally got it together. Then the other big issue is how do you get it out? You know, there's so many people who are even listening to us right now who said, I got to write a book. I want to write a book sometime. But then they don't know what to do when they get it written. What do you do to get it published? You have experience at this, so that's a huge help for you. But, you know, tell me about the path you took
publishing.
To actually get the book published.
I have been fortunate enough that I have written several books before, so I have a relationship with this publisher, and so that helped. But truthfully, what I would encourage anyone to do is, if you have a dream and you're very passionate about it, go for it. You know, create your product, create the book, and believe in your book, and then go for it and put it out there. See, so but for this particular book, it's because I have had a publication, well, several publications with this company, with Impact, and that's how that came about.
All right. Well, it's just hot off the presses, so to speak. I know this this interview is early on, and since the book has been out, have you been reviewed yet? Are you gotten reaction other than from your grandchildren? What, or is it too early for that?
Oh, no. Actually, I have to tell you, I'm very excited about this. This gets me excited because I've written this book, I'm going to Beekeepers you know, meetings and things like that, and I have had an incredible reception from them, as well as other, you know, I've had reviews on Amazon, which makes me feel really excited about. So it's only been out for a month, but I will tell you that the reception has been great. It's been really, really good, and I'm so excited about it. It just goes to show you that, you know.
I think that's great. You also learned about the World Bee Project, which I'm sure you weren't aware of when you actually started the book. Tell me a little bit about that. What can you share about that?
Well, that's part of my research. And when I started doing the research and I discovered the World Bee Project and everything that they're doing, and they come out of London, I wrote to the founder, and his name is Sabaha. Hopefully I'm not mispronouncing his name.
Sorry.
But it's a challenging. But anyway, I asked him this is before the book was published, obviously, and I asked him if I sent him a copy of the text, would he give me a testimonial? Not only did he give me a testimonial, but he wrote back and said, please let me know when the book is out, because I certainly want to help spread the word around with the World Bee Project. This really touched me because said there are a lot of beekeepers and a lot of bee organizations, and most of them are adults. But he was so he was so kind and so generous and responded immediately. It was wonderful. So he said he liked the book very much. So that's great. You know, I'm excited about that too.
I think that's great too. You know, let me point out again, by the way, anybody listening, the book is available at Amazon, and just for the record, it's called Honey Bee Treehouse by our guest, Nina M. Kelly. That's how you get it. If you have a young child who would like, you know, a great picture book, and it's easy to read to a child. It's not that long, as I said. This would be a great gift for a child, so... Go to Amazon, look it up, and, you know, you can get the book there. Nina, tell me a little bit about some of the other things you've done. You've done a producer of television series. You've done other things. For example, I know you were involved in a series that did an in-depth interview with Larry King before he died. The show called The Voice of a Generation. Did you meet Larry? Talk to him yourself?
I did. And you know what? I so appreciated meeting him. We did a documentary on the story of his life, and he was great. He talked about his vision when he was 8 years old and what his dream was to become a radio announcer. It was wonderful. I so appreciate him because he was candid, and you know what was beautiful about the working with him was that he said, look, we're going to all make mistakes in life, but we have to learn to acknowledge those and move forward. Don't let your hiccups stop you from your dream. And I really appreciated that. I liked him. I liked him very much. And obviously, you know, he was quite the man in, as far as interviewing everybody. I think he interviewed more people than anyone on the planet.
I think he probably did in his career, no question about
yeah.
it. He became a legend, no question. And also, what about the film you did, the Canines for Warriors organization? You did a produced a thing about that. That's what, about the dogs, canines from the service dogs?
Right.
Am I right?
Yes, it is. It's called A New Leash on Life, Canine for Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is soldiers that have come back from serving our country with post-traumatic syndrome. And it is placing soldiers with dogs that have been, and they're rescue dogs. And these rescue dogs are trained to be with soldiers. This was a phenomenal documentary. I mean, it was phenomenal. And Nick Nathan is the director and producer of that, and I was an executive producer. But we won 4 Emmys on that. That was how, it's an incredible story about how these soldiers come back, and they still want to come back and serve their country as they were before, be part of it. But through the trauma and the stress of everything that they've gone through, there's a transition period, you know. And sometimes we don't realize that. But it's a great story how these dogs help them and put them back into the mainstream of life. Incredible story.
Well, you know, no question. You've really done so many various interesting things, and you're described as a mythologist. What does that mean to you? Yeah, tell me about what is that to mean to you?
Okay, well, I actually have my doctorate in mythology, and mythology. People misunderstand that, but truly, what a mythologist is someone who has studied all the major cultures, their religions, their philosophy, their rituals, and it just helps you to learn more about humanity. And so, you know, it's a lot of studying, a lot of reading, a lot of work, but I will tell you at the end of the day, you see with a different view, you see with different lens. And what it gave to me was I don't try to change people, but what I try to see is where they're coming from. And if you understand people and you understand their culture, it sure makes life a lot easier. You know?
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, your other book, let's mention it. You wrote a book called Grace Has a Silent Voice. Tell me about that book. That was your first one, right?
That was my first one. That book, these are true stories about the resistance. I wrote that book because I wanted to honor the silent heroes. That book is about people who I've been fortunate enough have come into my life. And it's a story of the resilience of the human spirit in times of tragedy. And so many people that come into this world, they do profound things, and it's amazing. Oftentimes they're not ever recognized, but what they go through and the other side of that is just amazing. It's never been my experience, never, when I've come across people like that or I've had the opportunity to be in a scenario with them. They always want to do something to help someone else. Incredible, especially even during the time when it's the most tragic for them. Amazing. That's what that book's about.
That's wonderful. When was that? How long ago was that you wrote that?
That was in 2015.
Well, that's not long,
still,
so long ago.
Still,
jeez, that's very
no,
recent.
No,
so still, that's still available out there. That's great.
It's still rocking. It's still out there.
Well, you know, I give you so much credit. You are a very active lady, you know, and you're working, you're functioning and producing. What happens now? What are you going to turn to next? Any idea, or are you just open-minded and going to wait to see what happens?
No, actually, I'm in the process of doing a second edition. I've been asked to add more to Grace Has a Silent Voice, so I'm in the process of the second edition of Grace Has a Silent Voice. So I'm in the process of doing that. Yep, and then I'm also simultaneously writing a second little another children's book. This will be the third one, but I'm writing another children's book, so I'm in that process right now too. So those are the two things I'm doing.
Well, you are a busy lady indeed. Nina, this has been really great to chat with you. I want to point out your website. Maybe I can caution you here. I had trouble getting it open. You may want to look into this. But anyway, Nina's website is ninamkelly, KELLY.com. So it's Nina, NINAMKelly.com. If you go to that website, you will find out all about, you know, what we've been talking about, her story, and where to get the book. Again, it's at Amazon, and the book again is Honeybee Treehouse. So if you go to the website, or actually go to Amazon, you can get there. Nina, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. It's been amazing, and good luck. Keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you, Doug. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.
You are so welcome. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that'll do it for this edition. Whoa, music is getting a little too loud there. Sorry about that. But in any event, that'll wrap it up for this edition of Close Up. Nice to have you with us, and we look forward to having you back again. And don't forget the book, Honeybee Treehouse, by Nina Kelly at Amazon.
From Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. I will see you next time, everybody. Take care. Be safe. We'll see you then. Bye for now.